another phenomenal topic as usual. Amen. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalola, and tonight we are going on a teaching that we have titled The Gospel in Genesis, and this is part 8. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you tonight that you please invite somebody, share the link. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. As you do, you will be blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. We have been on a series for the last 8 weeks. I hope you have been enjoying this series. And tonight, again, we are going into the book of Genesis. I want you to understand that the Bible, every part of the Bible has a theme. And the theme of the Bible is Jesus, his message. The Bible is simply about salvation, the Savior, and the saved. And one of the most phenomenal writers that communicated the gospel is the man Moses. And Moses did it in such an intelligent way that it takes explaining. Amen. Okay. It takes what? Explaining. But let's look at the book of 2 Timothy right quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to follow me here tonight quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. We are going to be reading verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, from a child you have known the holy scriptures. Holy means set apart unto a particular thing. Scripture means writing. So when it says you have known the Holy Scripture, it's saying you have known the set apart writings of God. What is this Holy Scripture about? It is set apart to reveal Jesus. Look at it. Thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. So the Bible has a wisdom. The Bible has a capacity. An ability, a skill. The skill and capacity of the Bible is to show you and teach you about salvation that is in Christ. Not salvation in any other thing, but salvation in Christ. So all the books of the Bible are written with this theme in mind, that they are talking about salvation in Christ Jesus. Very important then. Then look at the next verse, verse 16. It now says, all scriptures. What will all scriptures be? That will be all writings. Does it mean all the writings in the world? No. The context tells us all holy scriptures, which is what it was talking about, all set apart writings that are speaking of salvation in Christ Jesus. It says they are given by the inspiration of God. So the Bible is a writing inspired by God. And it is profitable. So reading the Bible is taking in the wisdom of God. It says it is profitable for doctrine. So meaning the teaching of the Bible that is talking about Jesus. When you listen to it, it says it is doctrine that will reprove you. It will correct you. It will instruct you. Let me break it down what he means. He's trying to say, when you listen, when you read the scriptures that's talking about salvation in Christ Jesus, which is Genesis to Revelation, he's saying when you read all these scriptures, they are teachings. But those teachings, they will teach you. They will correct you. They will instruct you. So the reading, so as we are going through the book of Genesis, which will be talking about Jesus, salvation, the saved, you would learn lessons through those teachings that will aid your walk today. So last week, we were in Genesis 13. This week, we moved to Genesis 14. Genesis 13, we were looking at the mistake that Lot made. I would quickly go back again to this. What was the issue with Lot? The issue with Lot, which we are going to see recurring in the book of Genesis, was that Lot was a man who was with his father, his spiritual father. His spiritual father was who? His spiritual father was Abraham. The Bible will tell us that Abraham, please understand that this book that is called the Bible is talking about Jesus, salvation, the saved, ministry. So Abraham is Lot's spiritual father. Abraham teaches Lot the things pertaining to God. Lot, the Bible says that Abraham and Lot became wealthy, meaning Lot started to produce the same kind of results, put it in our days today, ministry-wise, that Abraham was producing. The Bible even says that Abraham and Lot's wealth increased so much that Abraham said, Lot, if you go left, I'll go right. Right? If you go up, I'll go down. We don't need to have these whole problems together. The Bible now says that Abraham looked by the eye of the flesh. He looked at the beautiful plains of Jordan. He looked at Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. The Bible calls it was as beautiful as the garden of the Lord. Then the Bible says he picked that land. What was the problem with the land that Lot picked? The problem with the land was that Lot left Abraham. He was too far from Abraham. Abraham could no longer influence Lot. And we're going to see what will happen to Lot. Lot will suffer a lot of things because I want you to write this down. Your environment influences you. Write that down. Your environment determines your experience. Write it down. Your environment influences you. Let's write it down. And that's what Moses is trying to teach us. Lot left Abraham and went to Sodom. The Bible says that in Sodom were wicked people. Right? Wicked people. And so, in life, your location matters. Who you are with, who you are around matters. Lot lost everything when he was with Abraham, a wealthy man. When he left Abraham and was on his own with bad company, he lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his wife. He lost his family. I'm going to show you the importance of family, godly family, of influence, of environment. See, listen. If it is sunny where you are, it is because of the environment you are in. There are people right now, I am in the UK, there is no snow where I am right now. But there is somebody that is my friend that is in Canada that is in the snow. His environment is determining his experience. It is the same thing spiritually. Your environment determines your experience. Amen. And I just want, that's the point, but I want to show you from scriptures. This is a very phenomenal point in Bible. Okay. I said that so far. See? Now, we see that Lot had left Abraham. Now, look at Genesis 14. What was happening in Genesis 14? Two kings were going to go into a war. Right? The kings of Sodom and the king Cherodolam. That's the name. I'm just summarizing it so we can get into the big deal. They were going to go into a war. So if you look at Genesis 14, if you read it, you will hear that the kings of Sodom were subject to King Cherodolam for 12 years. And in the 13th year, they rebelled. In the 14th year, they got into a fight. King Cherodolam took all his own boys to go and fight. And then King of Sodom took his own people to go and fight. Right? Now, listen to what happened here. And so the people of King Cherodolam fought with the king of Sodom, listen carefully, and they were beating them. They captured Lot. Where was Lot? Lot was in Sodom. Who was Lot? Lot was a believer. Where was he? Living amongst wicked people. Where was he before? He was with his uncle or his spiritual father. And before you know it, we are going to see right here how the Bible reports that Lot is now taken captive. I'll explain it to you. Look at Genesis 14, verse 12. I'll read from verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went away. And they took Lot, Abraham's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and they departed. Remember, this is Lot, who was doing well with his father, with his spiritual father. What has happened here? This is a message with a hidden meaning. What is the meaning? You are learning the gospel. You are being trained. You are hearing the word of God. Then what then happens? You now leave the place of mentorship, the place of influence. Then you go far. In going far, you get into trouble. Being sold and being taken captive in Sodom is when it's explaining spiritually a man who is a believer, and actually he is now learning the ways of Sodom. He is going into unbelief. He is going into carnality. This man, Lot, started up a good man. He was doing the work of ministry with Abraham. He was rich, meaning that they were rich men. And then what then happens? He goes to another place. In going to another place, far away from godly influence, he gets into trouble. His environment gets him into trouble. See what happened here. Okay? So in verse 12, we see that he dwelt in Sodom. All that dwelt in Sodom was taken away. So what Lot is experiencing is not the will of God. Lot is experiencing the pain of his decision. Lot is experiencing the repercussion of wrong environment. This is not God. This is not the devil. This is the repercussion from the wrong environment. Now he is in captive. Now he is far away. Now he is no longer in prayer. Now he's no longer doing the work of ministry because he has left the place of influence where he's been influenced. Now he doesn't go to church anymore. I'm breaking it down to your own day. Now he's giving excuses for reading the Bible. He's now caught up and he's now in jail. Look at it. They captured everybody. Verse 13. Then somebody came and told Abraham. See what Abraham did. Look at verse 14. Remember, Moses is writing a story talking about the Savior, the saved, right? Ministry. So what does God do when a man misses his way? It is still explained. This is explaining the love of God. A man is born again. A man starts to grow in Christ. A man has started to have results in his growth in Christ. Then that man decides to leave the place of influence and goes into a strange environment. In going into a strange environment, he is no longer praying. He is no longer fasting. He is no longer hearing God's word. He is no longer going for conferences. He is no longer following the instructions of his leader, and his spirit and his environment has changed. What ends up happening to this person? He gets into trouble. So now this man, Lot, is in spiritual trouble. Just like a man can be in spiritual trouble today. Then what happens? What does God do to a man? What does God do to a man who is in trouble spiritually? God sends him a teacher. What does God do? God sends Abraham to go after Lot. Let me tell, are you listening to me? Are you a disciple? Are you a brother? Are there people in your life, there are people God has placed upon your heart who you used to serve God before together, but they've gone their way. Listen, as you pray for them, or God will put in your heart that you go again for those people. You go again and reach out to them. Reach out to them in prayer. We are going to see what Abraham will do. Look at the book of Genesis 14:14. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. Are you seeing the words he's using purposely there? His brother. You too, you have brethren. When a man believes the gospel, he is your brother. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brother. Amen. He's your brother. You know what I'm saying? When he heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant. Are you hearing? Are you seeing what's happening here? 318 men were born into Abraham's house. This is talking about a minister of the gospel. A minister of the gospel had 318 people saved in his local church that have been trained with the gospel. And they hear that one man is missing. And they all go after that. Are you getting what is happening? I know you are seeing a story, but it's a symbol. It is symbolic. Are you getting what I'm saying? So this is ministry here. Abraham, the leader, the pastor, he has, one of his people has gone. God has sent him to Lot. What does he do? And Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained. Moses put it there intentionally. His trained servant. Who are the people that can rescue an erring man? Only disciples can. Trained servant. Let me ask you a question. Wherever it is that you are in the local church, are you just a church goer or are you trained? The local church is designed. Whenever you're hearing me in the world, don't say, oh, I follow Jesus, but church is a scam. The church you might be in might actually be one or this or that, but God's plan is the local church. Be in a local church, be part of a local church. That is God. See, any particular emotion against the local church, you will not be on God's side. Why? I'm not saying the local church is perfect. I'm saying the local church is God's way of raising trained ministers. So when there is war, you go for your trained ministers. What is the good thing about Abraham? Abraham had 318 men born in his house that he trained when it was time for war. When it was time to reach out to the man, to the lost, to do ministry. Who did he send? Who did he go with? His trained ministers. Are you getting what? That's what's happening here. Amen. Praise God. I hope you're getting what we're saying tonight. Amen. So what are we learning so far? Number one, we have learned the problem you get into when you're in the wrong environment. Wrong environment, wrong experience. Right environment, right experience. Influence is a major, is important. Wrong influences, more trouble. He that walks with the wise is wise. The companion of fools, they shall be destroyed. That's what we are talking about tonight. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Now, and when he heard that he's taken, verse 15, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, they smote and he divided himself against them, and he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Oba, that's the story, verse 16. And he brought all the goods and brought again his brother Lot, his goods, the woman, and the people. So now, Abraham has gone to fight. This is ministry. He has reached out to his son. He has rescued his spiritual son. What should the spiritual son have done? Do you guess what Lot did? Lot went back to Sodom. I'm just trying to explain to you that destruction does not just happen to people. Men will be given all manner of trouble. He was rescued from trouble. Go back home. Go back to where change your environment. Change your experience. You change your environment, your experiences by your environment. But this man stayed in Sodom. The same place he was in trouble. He stayed there. And Abraham went back home. That's what I want you to see there. So this man, he was rescued, but still went back to the place that got him into trouble. We're going to see the impact of this. You're going to see later, Lot, because of the... I want to tell you tonight, because you might disesteem it, that your environment is important. I want to tell you tonight that it determines how far you go in God. I want to tell you that God's plan and purpose for your life is environment attached. I want to tell you, I'm going to say it again, God's plan and his purpose for your life is environment attached. There are people God has sent to you. There are people God has sent to me. I will never be able to fulfill God's plan and purpose without the workings of those people. It is for everyone. God is too intentional. You must understand this. We are in a very proud generation. But the pride of this generation must not enter the local church. This is this kind of pride where which you get into trouble. You realize you are in trouble. You are rescued from that trouble, but you don't go back to the place of your improper influence. So you keep repeating the problem, and we see the end of Lot. We are going to see later. Lot ends up losing all of his wealth. He lost his wife. He lost his home. He became a fugitive somewhere. We'll talk about all of that later as we go in this series. He became a fugitive somewhere. You will realize that don't say staying around carnality will not get you carnal. I want to go into something that happened with this man called Lot to tell you that Your environment limits you, expand you in the things of God. See, Lot was a man. He was living in Sodom. There are a lot of people that just say, you know what? I can live, I can watch anything, I can do anything, I can just be anywhere, I can go. See, there are some things we don't do. It's not about is it a sin or is it not a sin. You are just guarding your heart. Write it down. Guarding my heart is my wisdom. It's not everything you expose yourself to. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. We expose ourselves to the written word, but it's not everything in the media you expose yourself to. It's not everything that is for you. There are some things you should not hear. There are some things that if you don't hear, you cannot be tempted by. Information you don't have cannot tempt you. It's very important. In the day and age that we are in, it's not everything that's for your consumption. Not everything is good for you because it will affect you, believer or not. That's why Jesus will say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the things I'll be known for in this generation is that I have a quote. I say, your mind is not loyal to you. Your mind is loyal to the information. Who is that person with arthritis? You're healed right now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your mind is not loyal to you. Your mind is loyal to the information that you give it. Look at what happens to Lot. It is a sorry story. Lot is now back in Sodom. The Sodomites are living in unbelief and destruction is coming. Angels of the Lord go. We're going to read all of this. I will read it out later in our subsequent. But I just want to explain. Angel of the Lord gets to Lot's state. Lot takes care of them very well. Because he had lent generosity from Abraham. Just the same way Abraham took care of those angels. Lot did the same thing too. So you could see that Lot lent a lot of things from his spiritual father. Very important to tell me. So he took care of the angels. But guess what? The people of Sodom were bisexual, homosexual, triposexual, all those sexual. Yeah, they were those kind of people. And so by the time Lot had said, I want to take care of you, come into my home, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah heard about this and they wanted to sleep with the angels of God. But I want to show you something that shows that, see, everything is not for your consumption, even though you're a believer. The Bible says that when they were hitting the house of Lot, Lot, come out, bring those people out so that we can have sexual relations with them. Do you know what Lot said? In the place of pressure. Let me tell you something. Don't say, no, I'm a believer. In the place of pressure, what you have taken in will come out. Write it down. That is why put in the word of God. So in the place of pressure, when you are going through tough things, you are able to say, oh, we rejoice. Oh, it shall turn for a testimony. Because that's what is inside. Because that's what you are feeding on. Because that's what your environment is producing for you. Because that's what you're hearing. Are you getting my point tonight? Even me, I'm liking this message tonight. Amen. Praise God. Guess what happens to Lot? Lot says with his own mouth, please don't sleep with the angels of God. I have two virgins that are my own daughters. They have not slept with any man. Please let me bring them out. I will give them to you that you may have your way with them. But please don't touch the visitors. Where did Lot get this kind of attitude? This kind of statement? He got it because he was living in Sodom. So because he was living in Sodom, he had seen this kind of practice. That is why he was happy to give his own children away like that. You see that your environment, write it down, a new one. Your environment affects your practice. Write it. Your environment, it affects your practice. Have you noticed that those that are in Russia in winter, they wear winter jackets? Environment affects practice. In summer here, we wear short knickers. Environment, practice. I am saying one of the most phenomenal things you can do for your life is your environment and your influence. Let me even say it to you well. You want to succeed in life and ministry, it is down to those two things. Let me say something else because I think there is an anointing for quotes tonight. Let me say something else. Willpower is not as strong as environment. I'll say it again. Willpower is not as strong as environment. The Bible says Saul at some point was a lunatic. But the Bible says Saul was amongst the prophets. What did he do? He whistled. No, he prophesied. He what? He prophesied. The spiritual secret to spiritual robustness is being around spiritual people. It's very easy. But don't let, you know, pride makes you compete with who you should learn from. It's pride. You'll be angry. Amen. The secret to spiritual robustness is in people. Environment. Who are you with? Who is around you? Who is talking to you? Who are you hearing? What they are saying is important. Even as you go into the new year, where you put your ear matters. You can put your ear in places where I will tell you gloom, doom, voom, and you vamoose. Or you can put your ear where you say the gospel will be spread. The light of the word of the gospel will shine. Men and women will come to the knowledge of the truth. And even in the physical realm, we shall experience the wisdom and the favor of God. You can put your ear there. It depends. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at it. So what ends up happening? He says, let my children, let them live with you. In our days today, we'll say, how dare he say such a thing? But when you are influenced, when you are operating stupidly, you won't know. Write it down. Influence makes stupidity look like wisdom. Write it. Influence. It makes stupidity look like wisdom. Because you have seen it around long enough. Where are we learning it from? Don't say, oh wow, this Pastor Dyer is really good. It's deep. No, it is what we are all learning from the Bible here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And you see what happens to the children of Lot when they even survived Sodom. What did they say? There is nobody here. Sister, let's get daddy drunk and sleep with him so we can have children of our own. What is that? Where did they learn that from? They learned it from Sodom. What am I sharing with you? The power. Moses is preaching to us about the power of environment and using Lot as a case study. See, Pastor, that is not. Where do you see? Where do you see? Now, let's now go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I hope I'm not too fast. Verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 6. And turning, it's in your Bible. So you don't see, Pastor, where, all these things that I said is not true. Where did it come from? And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example of those that should live after ungodly life. So why did Moses write the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? He said he wrote it as an example to show what will happen to people who don't believe the gospel. I didn't say it is there. Amen. So is there eternal destruction? Yes. What is the type and shadow? The type and shadow is Sodom. Even today, in the place called Sodom today, physically, nobody, no, even ants don't stay there. It's just thick darkness. Everything there is dead, filled with sulfur balls. Right? Of fire. Till date. Nobody lives there. Nothing inhabitable. What's the point there? It is just the way of describing eternal destruction that happens to a man that does not believe. Amen. You know, there are two types of people in the eyes of God. The man that believes and the man that does not believe. The man that believes on Jesus, eternal life. The man that does not believe on Jesus, eternal destruction. So the Bible in the Old Testament is filled with types and shadows. So we see a type of the man that does not believe. It's called Sodom and Gomorrah. What is the end of Sodom and Gomorrah? Destruction. Amen. Are you getting the point there? Okay, let's continue. Look at verse 7, because we're going to explain and describe Lot. He says, and delivered just Lot. Lot was a believer. That's the only reason why he was delivered. Not because of his acts were good. That is the beauty of grace. Grace is not because you are better. There are people who are not believers that with their behavior, they are better than believers. But if they don't believe the gospel, they go into eternal darkness. The man that believes the gospel has eternal life. The point is, you say it's not fair. Why? Because you see, what needs to change on the inside of a man is his nature. Amen. Is what is nature. Nobody wants to be the best dog that barked. Right? You would rather be a human being that can talk. You get the point? It's nature that is the problem. A very good dog, but the best it can do is bark. But when you have the nature of a man, you can talk. You get the point? It's the same thing with a man that believes and the one that does not believe. It's about nature. Amen. Praise God. You know, let's look at, we're still looking at, look at verse 7. And deliver just Lot, vexed. I want you to write that in your Bible. Meaning, Lot was living in Sodom, but he was an angry man. What was annoying this man? See, Sodom was a place of carnality, of sin, things that excite the flesh. What should Lot have done? Left the environment, but rather he stayed in the midst of ungodliness, but he was vexed. I don't know if you have been in those kind of situations. You know you should not be in a particular situation, in a particular environment, but you're there and it's vexing you. He says, he was vexed with the filthy anastrophe, conversation, lifestyle of the wicked. He's there. Peter tells us. Look at verse 8. For the that righteous man dwelling among them. What was the problem? A righteous man dwelling among them who left his place of influence is now being vexed. That righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed is righteous soul. How do men get influenced? The Bible tells you. Write it there. Your influence comes from what you see and what you hear. Please write it down. What I Pastor Daniel didn't say it. The Bible tells us what influences you, what you see, and what you hear. The moment seeing is taking place and hearing is taking place, influence is happening. That's the point. He was a righteous man. He had believed the gospel. But what he was seeing daily, what he was hearing daily. You know, a lot of believers like that. Let's even go a closer home. A lot of believers like that. They are good men. But what they hear as the gospel is vexing their soul. They know there is more. It cannot just be all about trying to get God to do something, making money. It's not just about transactional Christian living. There is more. It was just all, what will vex you? What you see and what you hear. What will influence you? What you see and what you hear. That's it. How do I know you love your life and you want to see good days? You watch what you see and what you hear. Amen. Because I'm liking the anointing for quotes today. What you see and what you hear will dominate what you say. Amen. What you see and what you hear will dominate what you say. What you see, what you hear will dominate what you say. Amen. Very important. Are you back in 2 Peter 2 verse 8? For that righteous man dwelling amongst them in seeing and hearing vexes righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Look at verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. How will God deliver the godly out of temptation? Through Abraham, that man with the gospel. Through how does God deliver men? It is through the preaching of the gospel. Write it down. How does God deliver you from temptation? God sends men to men. Listen, God's strategy is men. Amen. You see, listen, if you are very sensitive, you will realize that God actually sends people to you. Amen. God uses men for men. Yeah, that's how God operates. So you have to be sensitive, even in relationships. Amen. In spiritual relationships, God uses men for men. How, it says, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. So how? God knows how to do what? Deliver the godly. How did he deliver the godly? You see it back in Genesis. Genesis, remember, what we read is all that Peter too read to write the book of Peter. Amen. Praise God. So what did he read? He read that there were 318 men who were armed in Abraham's house that aid, helped the destruction or helped the rescue of Lot. We're going to see it later. He will have read that Abraham was interceding or communing with the Lord concerning the destruction that will happen in the city of Sodom. That's what you do as a minister, as a brother, as a sister. Right? You go for men with the gospel. We are saying the same thing. Moses wants us to see the same thing. The same thing that Abraham did. You go for men with the gospel. You train men. The aim of training men. So take up your ministry. That thing that you know, others must know it. So that trained men with you will go for other men. And as you go for other men, they are rescued. They are saved. They are changed. They are delivered from the oppression of the enemy. You pray for men. You see Abraham. Abraham will say, if there are 10 people there, if there are 50 people there, don't destroy. If there are 40 people there, if there are 30 people there, if there are 10 people there. The ministry of continuous intercession. Talking to the Lord. You see that? Very important stuff we're sharing tonight. Amen. God knows. So how does God deliver? God delivers through men. How does God deliver? God delivers through you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I don't even have time to talk about Melchizedek tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just go with this particular flow. Second Corinthians. You are God's ministry to another man. The ministry of God to another. So do not say, I am a nobody. No. You are God's mouthpiece. You are God's hands. Didn't you hear? You are members of the body. Christ is the head. You are the body. Who you touch, he has touched. Who you speak to, he spoke to. Amen. You remember the story? When Jesus was talking about it in the book of Matthew 25. When he said, the righteous... He said, who are the righteous? He said, oh, the head I was hungry, they fed me. The head I was sick, they came to visit me. Then people said, when did we see that you were hungry? He said, if you did it to this once, you did it to me. Why? The reality of the body of Christ is real. Christ operates through men today. Amen. Through you today. Don't say, no, you know what? The ministry is only Pastor Dio and a few of them like that. No, every one of us. There is an assignment. There are people that I will never reach that you will reach. Amen. Praise God. There are people my own pastor will never reach, but I'm reaching. That's how it's ordained. You say, oh, are you saying I'm going to be a pastor? You don't need to be a pastor to reach. You just need to be meat for every good work. A disciple of Jesus Christ, teaching men. Remember the story? When the Lord met with what's his name now? Saul. Remember Saul? What did he tell Saul? It's there. You can read it when in your spare time. It's either Acts 8 or Acts. It's actually Acts 9. Right. Let me check before we go to second. I'm really enjoying myself tonight. The Bible says there, yes, Acts 9 verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus will appear to him in verse 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But who was Saul persecuting? Paul, the Bible says Saul was persecuting the disciples of the Lord. When you are persecuting the disciples of the Lord, you are persecuting Jesus. That means that Jesus and his disciples, I mean Jesus and the church, I mean Jesus and the believer, they are one. Amen. That also means he walks through us. As I'm preaching tonight, who is preaching to you? You are recording it as Pastor Dayo is preaching. As who is really preaching? Jesus is preaching to you. Jesus only uses men. That, you see, listen, that is why if I say on here that if you are blind, see, you should see. Why? Not because of me. It's because I am in Christ. Who is talking to you? Jesus. We are the hands and leg of Jesus. If you are crippled, I say to you, walk. Why would you walk? Because I am Jesus in the flesh. Why? He is in me. Amen. Praise God. If I say, you said, oh, there is no womb. I say to you, womb open now. It's not a big deal. It must open. Why? I am Jesus in the flesh. The only problem is, will you see me like that? Will you receive the words I'm saying like that? Amen. Praise God. No, no, this is not about me. This is about the believer in Christ. He says, I want to see Acts 9 again. Before we go, we conclude with 2 Corinthians. He says, and Saul was breathing threats, persecuting the disciples of the Lord. Acts 9. Who? Disciples of the Lord. When you do anything to a believer, who did you do it to? Physically, you say, I did it to Benga. I did it to Pope John Paul. I did it to Benedicta. No. In the annals of heaven, you did it to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You have to understand it. Because when you understand the identification, the identity, the oneness of Christ and his church, you realize that whatever happens to Jesus, whatever happens to the believer, it is recorded as it happened to Jesus because that person is a member of the body. Let's read Acts 9 again. Because we have to conclude in 2 Corinthians. So that's why we need to read Acts 9. Amen. You need to get to Peckham before you get to Camberwell. Amen. Praise God. Not really sometimes, you know. Amen. But let's go. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Are you anywhere, hearing me anywhere around the world, and you are being told, you know, there are chains. Is there anybody that is in any, you know, a family member, or you might be listening to me? I don't know how to say this, and I'll say you are listening to me and you have a mental condition, but just take it how it is. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, those chains are dropped. That mental situation is over, and you are rescued now. Will you take it? Would you receive it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at it. It says, who is talking to you? Jesus. Amen. Why? You understand the law of identity. Amen. I and Jesus were one. That's why I can see that and it will work. Are you looking at it there? He says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any way, whether they may, men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, are you seeing what's going on here? This man called Saul was against the church. He was against the disciples of the Lord. And he thought he was doing God a favor. Amen. Amen. But the church of God is the only institution of God on the earth. Very important. That God identifies with anyway. Look at it. It says there, against the disciples of the Lord, okay, and then he says in verse 3, and he went, he journeyed near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And verse 4, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, why art thou persecuting me? Look at verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. You get that? I am who? Jesus, whom thou art persecuted. I am who? Jesus, who thou art. Whom thou persecuted. So who was he persecuting? As far as you can see, Acts 9, 1 and 2. The disciples of the Lord. Who did Jesus say is being persecuted? Jesus said you are persecuted. Do you know that your perspective to life, to ministry, to people, to the local church, it changes when you understand that it is Jesus that is there. Not Tony Tonero, Jesus. Jesus. That is Jesus. It changes. You're doing evil to a brother. Who are you doing it to? It's Jesus. Amen. Are you seeing that now? Much more. How did we get here? We said Jesus has people. What Jesus has is people. And how will he deliver other people? Through people. Amen. How will he deliver other people? He will deliver other people through people. Amen. I'm going to say this is like a story. I've shared it before. And then we'll go into 2 Corinthians and we're going to end tonight. You know, I remember it's a real story that happened to me. A couple of years ago, I was praying and the Lord, now I know is the Lord. And I heard this from the inside. Call this minister, that's a music minister, and give him this certain amount of money. I just thought, you know, Lord, I'm busy. Let's discuss this and this and this. And I was like, who has time for that? But because I had a lot of things to discuss with the Lord. And then the second day, I was just about to start off, Father, we give praise. Call, get this minister and give him this certain amount of money. Then the third day, I was about to talk with the Lord. I was like, oh, what is up? I just thought in my mind, you know what? The devil cannot be telling me to give a minister money. I want to discuss very important things with the Lord. And he's bringing up this minister's money. You know what? I was on my knees. I took my bank. I sent the money to him. Right? We discussed other things with the Lord and all of that. It was a good day. Then, the minister sends me a message and says, thank you so much. This is the exact money I prayed for to the Lord about exactly 3 days ago. And while he was thanking me, I was in shock. Why was I in shock? The moment he asked the Lord for the exact amount, the Lord told me. I am Jesus on the earth to give that man what Jesus wanted to give that man. But guess what? I decided to make it look like God is slow. Day one, I didn't obey. Day two, I didn't obey. That man would have been saying, oh, Father, are you not hearing me? What's going on? It was me. I was the one that was standing between God looking like a faithful God or he was not. Day three that I answered was when the man said, who? God answered. Why did that happen? Not because God is slow. It happened because I was slow. What's my point? God uses men to reach men. So you are a man. Sorry, you are a man. Being a man, then what I mean, a human being, a believer, God will use you to reach other people. And in that space, it so that you can be, like Paul would tell Timothy, meet for every good work. That's why we give ourselves to Bible study. Don't just say, that just always like to go deep into the world. Why is he showing us gospel of Genesis? It's so that you may be meet for every good work. You'll be a thorough minister, furnished for every good work. It's there in the book of 2 Timothy 2, from verse 21. Let me show you that one. Then I show you the other one. Then we can go tonight. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Right? Look at verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Why? You are the one God will use to reach other men. Study to show yourself approved. That's one reason why we read the Bible. We grew. It says, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at verse 16. It says, but shun profane, and vain babblings, and that which sounds like the gospel, but it's not the gospel. It says it increases ungodliness. The only thing in faith that decreases ungodliness is the gospel. But we think that the gospel is what gets many people sinning. No, is the gospel is the answer to the sin nature and to living in sin. Right? It says in verse 17, and their word will eat doth like a cancer. Just the same way it happened to Eumenes and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, right? And they've overthrown the faith of some. Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, Having the seal, the Lord knows them that are his. Let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. In the great house, there are not only vessels of gold, but of silver. You see, he's trying to tell you of wood, of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. Look at verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself, what will purge himself mean? Study to show yourself approved. Why? How did we get here? God uses men to reach men. So take Bible study importantly. Write notes in church. Read your notes after church. Have a Bible study time. Have a time of prayer. Study so you will not be stupid. Study so you can do God's will on the earth. Study to show yourself approved. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Have a teacher. Follow radically. Ask questions. Your life and the lives of millions depends on it. Amen. Oh God. Okay. He says, if any man therefore purges himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meaning set apart, meet, qualified for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Who is that man? The man that gives himself to the word. He has a teacher. He's in church. He's growing. He has a Bible study time. I'm not giving you do's and don'ts. I'm telling you the things that we do that gets us growing. He says this one is set apart, prepared. Who does the setting apart? It's you. This one is not talking about the setting apart or you being in Christ. It is you that is set apart based on what you are taking in so that you are qualified to do certain things. Amen. Don't say, oh, it's from the womb God has called me to be a pro. You will never prophesy if you don't give yourself to the word of God and prayer. Amen. It's true. You don't say, ah, it's from the womb that they gave it to me. If not, you end up prophesying nonsense. So you study so that you can do God's will on the earth. Amen. Let's conclude tonight. God uses men to reach men. That man is you. 2 Corinthians, we conclude tonight. I hope this has blessed you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God. How many minutes do we have here? Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus. The Father, follow, 2 Corinthians 1, 3. The Father of mercies. Oh, what a good God. And the God of all comfort. Who does God comfort? Everybody. It's just the methodia, the way he does it. Who is he called? He's called the Father of comfort. You know comfort? The Father of comfort. Hey, look at that. He's the Father of comfort. Look at the next verse. Verse 4. Who comforted us in our tribulations? Follow. How does God comfort? That we may be able to, mark it in your Bible, comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith ourselves have been comforted of God. How does, if someone will see the comfort of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the glory of God, how will he see that comfort? How will he see that glory? How will he see the healing of God? Through men. He says the same way you are being comforted, you now arise and comfort others. That is the ministry of God's comfort. So when you are out there comforting men, being there for men, laying hands on the sick for men, studying so you can teach men, the Bible says it's God that is doing it. So you are God's. Is it making sense to you now? Is 2 Corinthians 5:19 making sense to you now? You are God's ambassador. We don't see God, we see you. But when we see you, we have seen God. How did we get here? We got here by explaining the phenomenal ministry of Abraham, who loses a son in Lot. And he uses 318 men, trained men, to go out there. Why? Because God uses men to deliver men. Then we said, you are God's man today. Therefore, study to show yourself approved. Give yourself to the instructions of the New Testament. They are the same instructions in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they are clearly explained. Give yourself to those instructions. We have said it to you. You will be meet, sanctified, set apart, meet for every good work. It says in the house, there are many vessels. I can agree. I'm sure Paul was thinking of my house when he was writing that verse. He says, in the house, there are many utensils. One, he said, there are some of gold. Some, yeah, man, we have spoon of gold, you know, silver, different ones. For every, there is even plastic. It is for you, different uses. He says, those ones, they are ones who are purged, sanctified, prepared for every good work. Who determines it is not God? God does not determine your call. Amen. No. You are the one sanctified, prepared, meet for every good work. Through the comfort you have been comforted, you comfort others. You are the one. You are God's ambassador, God's mouthpiece. You are God's disciple. Right? What is the flip side of it is that when men touch you, they touch God. Amen. You know, that's a good comfort for the believer as well. To understand that as a believer, you are not here in this world alone. Right? You are not here alone. You are God's own. You are not a person that is a non-entity, that is just a believer that just believes the gospel. No, you are God's representation on the earth. You are God's ambassador. When people do evil to you and persecute you, it is recorded in the annals of heaven that they did it to Jesus. It's a phenomenal ministry. That's why the Bible says that we are co-laborers with God. Are you saying I'm going through different scriptures to say the same thing? We are co-laborers with God. We are God's own. We are God's ambassadors. We are the men that God uses to reach men. It's you. You've got a ministry, a phenomenal ministry. Every one of us. If God will reach another person, it's because you did something. As you go again tonight, you know, there are many men who arise in our generation like Abraham. Abraham will arise in a generation and delivers and rescues Lot from the clutch of destruction, right? Because he will train 318 men in his household to go after Lot. Amen. It's the same thing. You will be that man in your generation who would actually train men. You will take the things of the Spirit importantly, doggedly. You will do it for years, for days on end. Why? Because you know that the rescue of men is left to your activity, right? God being compassionate, comforting, loving, healing, the manifestation of it on the earth is because you moved. Till we come your way again next week, we are all still talking the gospel in Genesis. God bless you richly and have a phenomenal week ahead. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.